this episode, we hear from Emma. Emma talks about being head at Ramsden Hall, which is a provision for SEMH pupils. And she talks about the experiences they offer their children, the new residential and school that they're going to have built, and how they're dealing with the current crisis. Emma, tell us all about Ramsden Hall.
So Ramsden is a school for boys, up to about 100 boys, that have all been identified as having social, emotional or mental health challenges, let's say. Yep. So they come to us from year six, are the youngest we take, and they come to us with a very mixed experience of education. Usually some have not been in school for quite some time, the majority have been excluded, often at primary school, often in sometimes at year two and year three. Sometimes they've gone to a mainstream secondary, but they come to us in year seven and eight because it hasn't been the right environment for them. So they come to us with a multitude of difficulties around education, let's say, and their perception of education is really not a very happy one. We take the view that they've all been traumatized in some kind of way. Many have experienced trauma in their lives, but they've all in some way experienced some kind of rejection. So we work very much on focusing on relationships. Relationships are the most important with these children. Many have got diagnoses. So some will be we've got a percentage that are diagnosed with ADHD and with autistic spectrum disorders. And we also have a core that are diagnosed with oppositional defiance disorder.
Yeah.
So we'll obviously bear all of that in mind, but a lot of them show behaviours that don't relate to a diagnosis. They don't have a diagnosis. So we very much get to know them. We build the relationships. We find out actually what works for them. And we look at education in a very different way. Our aim is that they leave us in year 11, or if they go back to mainstream, able to be positive members of their communities and able to achieve their potential. Yeah. And that potential is not just academic. It is their potential as a person.
Yeah.
Because they're all traumatized in some way, and because they've all had difficulties in some way, they have the most amazing coping mechanisms. Some of their coping mechanisms they've learned are not helpful actually in a school.
Okay. Yeah.
So we try and change those. But some of their mechanisms, they're so resilient, and some of them have got some amazing empathy and amazing skills, but they're just hidden by their problems with education.
Yeah, of course.
So we really work on getting to know them, finding out what really makes them tick, finding out really who they get on with. I've got a really varied staff. I've got an amazing staff team. We're really, really varied. So there's always somebody on the staff team that they're going to get on with. So they all identify transfer adults. So when things start to go wrong, we'll call for those transfer adults because they're the ones that the children trust. They're the ones they listen to. Not all of them will get on with me, and that's absolutely fine. I may be the head, but they don't all have to get on with me. If they're in distress, it won't be me that's called. We don't work on kind of hierarchical system. We work on a system as everybody has as much say. I have the final say, but everybody has a really valid contribution. And I've got amazing staff that can get to children and can talk to them, and that children will talk to maybe more than any other adult they've ever trusted.
Mm-hmm.
And that's vital. It's vital that I have a really mixed staff, but it's vital that although everybody's very different, that we're all consistent and we all understand the ethos. So we've worked a huge amount in the last few years on ensuring that everybody's really well trained, and that everybody, all the staff, really understand where these children are coming from and how to help them get to where they want to be and where we want them to be. I have staff training every week. We really focus on things that will help the staff but also are going to help the students. So we have an amazing site, an absolutely amazing site. So we're in an old mansion house that is literally falling down around our ears. So we're having a whole new building and a new residential block built, which are going to be amazing. I went and visited on Friday with one of our children. Okay. And it's going to be fantastic. But we're set in 14 acres of woodland. We've got a football pitch, we've got a swimming pool, we've got a gym, thankfully now. We've got an animal care area, we've got a fantastic little DT block. So we've got all the amenities that you really could want. I wish the swimming pool was enclosed and heated, but other than that, you know, we're really, really lucky. But it does mean that, you know, we get to know our children, and the ones that actually really, really enjoy being outside, we make sure they get time outside. The ones that don't relate to that, then, you know, we don't push them into it, but it means that we've got the space to look at their interests, look at what they want to do, and able to help them find that school is different. School is not just about sitting in a classroom doing English and maths. Yes, they're really, really important, but our curriculum looks at things that are vocational and the active things, because if you've got ADHD, you don't want to sit in a classroom doing English. You may have to until you're 18. But, you know, we make sure that there's other things that they can do that actually they are going to learn practical skills from. Some of our older children, I've got a lad in year 10 who's going to be year 11 in September, who is going to be an absolute diamond of a worker when he leaves. And if years ago, if you could have left school at 14 or 15, he would be employed now and he'd be working his way up, maybe on a building site, but certainly doing something practical.
Yeah.
Because he's got a real talent for it. He absolutely hates English and maths.
Yeah.
English and also. English is always the one they hate most, but he absolutely hates that. So we try and work with him. You know, if he does some English and maths, then we'll get him doing... He repairs doors around the school. He helps the caretaker. And in fact, we've got him his own drill that he can... So when there's a problem with a door, we can say, can you get so-and-so? And he'll go and get his drill from DT. He'll come and mend the doors for us. He's that good. So, you know, that's the kind of thing we're looking for. In a mainstream school, he wouldn't get those opportunities.
Of course.
And I don't think he'd be attending, if I'm honest.
No. Well, Emma, you've touched on so much there in quite a...
Sorry.
No, that's brilliant. That was really, really good. And you've struck a chord with me straight away, because you've spoke about so many of the things I believe in around creating the right environment, building the right relationships, and about, you know, it's a team around the child, not just one person. And the bit I want to lead on to now, just because it was kind of one of the last things you mentioned, was around employment. So yourself and I will be aware, and I'm sure others who are listening as well, that employment levels for children that leave some of our schools in special education are really, really low. Yeah. What is Ramsden doing specifically to help, you know, prepare the children better, but also maybe educate the local area about what our kids can do?
Yeah, I mean, we'll take any opportunity we can from the local community to help us. So, for example, an obvious one is construction. We're having a new building site. I took one of our year sevens onto the building site on Friday, and we had all our PPE and we had a look, and they taught him how to lay some bricks and as part of the residential, because he's a residential student. The older ones, so that young man I was just talking about, I've spoken to the builders, and they will have him on a kind of little placement when we're back in school.
Brilliant.
In food tech, they've looked at, and they've got some support from the RAF, and they've been into experience, a fine dining experience, because it's something that our children maybe wouldn't get the chance to do. But if they want to work in that kind of industry, we've got some amazing chefs. And if they want to work in a kitchen or in, they need to understand about fine dining, not just about, you know, core catering. So our food tech team have done that. It varies according to their interests and needs. But we work with Essex Support Service from SEND Ops or whatever it is now. We work with them from year 9 into year 10 and then into year 11. We've got an amazing transition manager, and she works with the children looking at what their interests are and then looking at what's the best route for them. So we start to tailor their curriculum for them. We start to tailor their social skills and work looking at, you know, if you're going to work in a kitchen, these are the kind of skills you're going to need. And we look at their qualifications, so they don't take anything that's unnecessary. But we look at, so for example, all of our year 11s just before, thankfully before the crisis, all qualified with their first aid at work certificate. Yep. So wherever they go, they'll have got a first aid at work qualification, because we try, you know, they may not be able to get grade fours in their GCSE English and maths, but they'll have other skills that are useful in a work environment. The vast majority, in fact, in the last, well, I've been there 8 years, and the vast, vast majority have gone on to college rather than going on to an apprenticeship. That may change with the changes in the apprenticeship requirements, but at the moment, the year 11s are all looking at a college place at different levels. We work with local alternative provision providers like Rally Sport. So if a child's got a real interest in motor vehicles, we'll make sure they get some time there and they'll get on their program to do the motor vehicle maintenance, because we can't do it. They're the kind of the skills they'll need for each area. And then behind all of that are the social skills. So understanding how to behave in a workplace and how inappropriate language is not going to get you very far in a workplace. And I think sometimes they don't believe us until they leave. But the year 11, we have really good contact with the year 11, previous year 11s, and they often come back and visit. And they all say, you were right. Oh, thank you. You know, when you told us that, we didn't believe you. But now, oh, yeah, you. Thank you for that, you know. And that's lovely to see. I love seeing them come back. And we've had one came and did a stint of volunteering. He left 5 years ago. and he came and volunteered with us last year. And then I've got another one who's the paperwork, two more in fact, who the paperwork's just going through. One left last year, one that left the year before, that are coming to volunteer as well.
I can only relate to that as well from my own experience at Marketfield School. So yeah. Marketfield, I think, is the biggest employer people who have left actually coming back and working at the school now, which I suppose is double-edged, because you think, well, it could be because the opportunities aren't out. Well, we know they're not always out there, but it's nice as well. They feel comfortable to be able to come back. You mentioned a couple of times there about the new building and also having residential as well. So can you just explain both those? What difference a new school you think or a new building will make, but also why it's important that you do have residential included in that for the type of children that go to your school?
Yeah, so our children at the moment, we have residential upstairs in the old manor house. So they go upstairs to their different houses. They've got different houses and their facilities are nice and they're well maintained, but they're not specifically, they're not built for that purpose. So we have to do quite a lot of work around that. Whereas our new residential will have space for 40 children and 40 children that could stay up to four nights a week. Whereas at the moment we don't have room for them to stay four nights a week. So, and they'll be mostly single rooms with ensuite facilities and they will have enough lounges. So we're hoping to be able to have a cinema room. We're hoping to have a milkshake bar. We're hoping to make it not just a home from home, but actually something better than some homes. And we're hoping to make it a really pleasant place to be. Residential is a choice. So when they come for their visit, before they even come and start at the school, we show them to it. We make sure I'm aware it's an option, but it's a choice. It's not something we'd ever force them into. But for some children and some families, it just provides that time away from home, from whatever's going on at home, and time to work on their social skills, time away, and it's just a very warm, very nurturing, very caring environment. They get the food at Ramsden is incredible. We have an amazing catering team. And so they get really well fed. They get a very straight routine. They get to do exciting activities. They get to do things like playing hide and seek in the woods. Yeah. You know, there's a real variety according to what season it is, but also what they want to do and what they're interested in. And it gives us that chance to just work with them on some of the, you know, at the start I talked about some of the coping mechanisms they've learned, to work on the ones that actually are not helpful and to give them some more and to give them some more strategies and some more social skills, so that when they do leave us, they're ready to have their own families and they're ready to look after themselves. So we're really trying to work on those independent living skills and all of those social skills that go around being an adult, really.
Allowing them to be children by the sounds of it as well, by some of the games and that you mentioned and the activities. So you obviously mentioned one of the reasons we do these podcasts is to break down perceptions towards different children. And one of the perceptions towards schools like yourselves and SEMH provision is that they're just places for naughty boys. What would be your kind of real key messages around why do you love going to work every day, Emma? And what are some of the great qualities that you see in those children? You mentioned resilience and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But what are some of the other qualities that you see?
This is an easy one. I've taught, this makes me sound really, really old, but I've been in education for 30 years now. And I started teaching in the inner city and I've always worked with children with special needs, but I've worked in mainstream primaries, I've worked in secondaries, I've worked in inner city in London, I've worked in Harlow, I've worked in Tiptree, so I've worked in little villages. I've taught adults, I've taught nursery, I've taught everything. Well, 8 years ago now, I found myself sitting at an office being strategic, being a director of an educational charity, and I actually thought, this is not what I came into teaching for. And at that point, having taught, I've been a Senko, having taught sixth form in mainstream, I had lots of choices. And I thought, did I want to go back to primary? Did I want to be a Senko? Did I want to teach sixth form? And I saw the advert for a teacher at Ramsden. And I thought, could I do that? Am I a good enough teacher? So I came to look round, and my look round, I was still a little bit undecided, but I was invited for interview and I was interviewed by three of the boys, and I still remember them and I remember the interview. They made me laugh so much. They were so honest. They put a piece of paper on the table and they said, and it was a checklist, they said, this is what we want our teacher to be. Can you do that? And I was like, I think I can. And they absolutely sold it to me. And that is the thing with Ramsden. We laugh every day. We're an amazing team. We do laugh. We have incredible laughs together. And even in dreadful times when things happen to children and when things happen to staff, I think the staff team have really worked together to come through that. We've had some really tough times in the last 2 years. And even now with this crisis going on, everybody is trying, doing their very best. And when you get children, like we've got quite a few children coming into school because of the difficulties they're having at home. And one of them said to me last week, he's year seven, and he said, I don't know what I'd do without coming into school, miss.
Wow, yeah.
I'm living for coming into school now, and that's why I do it.
Yeah, of course.
You know, the rewards, I've worked with Reed and I've worked with gifted and talented, and some of ours are gifted and talented, but these children and these families, when they really appreciate it, when they make the progress, is so much more rewarding than any other children I've ever worked with.
Absolutely. I think that sums it up really nicely, Emma. I don't think anyone needs to say any more on that. The last thing I did want to touch on, you just mentioned briefly there, at the time of recording this podcast, we're still in lockdown, which is very difficult for schools, yeah. And probably even more so for provision, yeah, like yourself, where you are, yeah, you know, providing education for some of the most disadvantaged youngsters. What has Ramsden been doing, you know, to support some of those children and staff?
Yeah, well, we started off, we had to close because we had we had quite a bout of staff illness, including me, and I was really ill, and we think none of us have been tested, but we think we may have had it. So then when we reopened, we've risk assessed everything, and we looked at all of our children, looked at those that actually we felt risk assessed probably were not safe to be home all the time because sometimes of their behaviours. So we invited them in first, and they've been coming in. This is the fourth week that they've been coming in. Then we've extended that. Last week we extended it to a few more that where concerns have come up or parents have said, I really need them to be in. Or the children have said they really want to come in. And then after half term, currently this week, we're doing a parent questionnaire survey to find out what the demand is. And I've written to parents and explained that if they feel their children are not safe at home and they need us, we're here and they can come in.
Yeah.
But also, if they feel their children are safer at home, then we'll respect that. That's their choice as parents. Staff are calling at least once a week with everybody, but some children they're calling every day and making sure that there's contact. And we've just set up Google Classroom and Google Hangouts. So we're trying to get as much online and as much contact with them to let them know, because of attachment awareness, letting them know that we're thinking of them and keeping those relationships going. And then I'm working on the whole school risk assessment and the whole program of then when they come back in is what the curriculum will look like and what everything will look like. So that, because we've got, after a 6-week holiday, it takes a while, quite a long time, usually until Christmas, to really get everybody settled. So we're going to have to do that again, but big time, even more. It's looking at how we do that safely, because behaviour can be very challenging and very dangerous at times, but as safely as well for the mental health of the children and the staff.
Thank you so much for touching on so many of those issues, Emma. I think there'll be lots of people who work in schools as well who'd be able to, yeah, relate so much to what you've said. So that is everything from me that I wanted to ask you. And for me, even just listening to you has been brilliant, because it's one of my real passions as well.
Yeah.
So thank you for giving up your time, and wish everyone the best at Ramsden as well.
That's fun. I've got to go back to writing risk assessments now, Kieran. Much rather talk about Ramsden.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, yeah, thank you so much for your time.
No problem. Thank you.
These episodes are supported by the brilliant Active Essex, who sought out some funding for us to continue these episodes. If you'd like to advertise on any of our shows, please get in touch with me by emailing mschoolscouncil@gmail.com.
Everyone is different and special in their own way. We should be including everyone, so let's start today.